Welcome to Becoming Wildly Well with me, Brandy Lee. Today, I'm really excited to have a guest on the podcast. Her name is Sherry, and she is really somebody who I've just met in the past couple of weeks, but she has someone who has a real story to tell. And not just that, she has some tools to share with you guys that have gotten her through some of the hardest times of her life. And I'm really excited for her to just share a little bit about that with us. So Sherry, tell us a little bit about yourself. Which is always the hard part, right?
I know. I'm starting back. I am 41 years old and I have two children. I grew up in a small town, just now recently going through my second divorce. And just kind of come from a lot of
trauma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Childhood. It's been crazy, but beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I really just a year ago, I experienced breath work and it's changed my life. And that is really why I'm here. Like it has been life changing. I say it's my saving grace. I wish everybody, not enough people know about it. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to know about it because I feel like everybody needs to know about it. Had I known about it when I was a child or a teenager, it would have been unbelievable.
What you could work through, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, whatever you're comfortable with sharing, but tell me a little bit about your childhood and maybe some of the things that have followed you into adulthood.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's all following me because I'm here. But I come from drugs, a lot of drug addiction. There was a lot of death, a lot of loss, and just lots of trauma, mm-hmm. lots of pain. And I married the first time around and thought that would be forever. And I had my two children and it didn't work out. And we were just talking about like codependency and all that comes from trauma and childhood trauma. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
Did you feel like as a kid, like you had to take care of people? Like, tell me a little bit about that. Because I feel like that's a lot of people that listen to this podcast, a lot of people that I attract is like, they want to be the first in their family or in their generation to heal.
Yeah.
But also they have to recognize that where this came from, where these patterns came from that they learned. And so for me, I had two addicted, mentally ill parents, and lots of chaos and trauma too. So I always was trying to perform, people please, perfect my way to like, maybe if I'm good enough, then everything will get better. Or there's a story that I share a lot. I don't know if you know, but it's like when my mom first attempted to take her life, I like fell onto the floor that day because I had spent so much time in codependency taking care of her. And I screamed in this living room that where we're recording the podcast across the living room. I laid on the carpet and I screamed and I look at my husband and I said, oh my gosh, I can't love the pain out of her. And it was the first time in my life at 26 years old, I think, that I was like, okay, I literally can't love the pain out of her because I've been really trying. And so, yeah, I know.
Feel that.
Yeah. So tell me if you feel comfortable, like, is there somebody in your life that you were trying to take care of or love the pain out of or fix that caused that codependency within you?
Yeah, I think that.
I knew we would cry right
away. I did not want to cry.
That's a good sign. Like crying to me is like checkbox, like a job.
I think that that was, and I don't want to be like this victim, but I think that was pretty much everybody that I loved.
Mm. Mm.
So, my dad died when I was 10 in a car accident. And then my mom just recently died. I say just recently. I've been in this trance of my life. Yeah. So, I think it was 2017, but she died unexpectedly. And she was addicted to pain pills my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was there's a lot. Something. Yeah, mm-hmm. that comes with a lot, just mm-hmm. living with that my mm-hmm. whole life and trying to love her through it. And now mm-hmm. I see like kind of, I understand her more today than I ever did through my own healing
mm-hmm.
because she never
knew what to do.
And no one ever she didn't ever meet you, or you
know, yeah, they didn't know the access to things that they could do. Yeah,
yeah, and she did pills. Yeah, so antidepressants and anti-anxiety, and it was just more, and it added, and then let's take the pain pill, and then so it numbs it, and I totally get the whole numbing.
Yeah, it's the easiest thing to do.
It's so easy. And so I did. I went through that stage, you know, early in life where I kind of was like, well, you know,
why everybody else, party?
Everybody else is doing it. And that's the way to kind of cope through it. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say I did the hard way around, but I've lived through it and I'm still living through it. And I'm healing every day. Today, I think I'm better than I've ever been.
Good. Okay. So when you say numbing, because that's something I'm remember to talk about, because it's something we all do.
Okay.
And I think so many times people talk about numbing and they think about drugs or alcohol.
Yeah.
But we numb with social media.
Yeah.
We numb with TV.
Yeah.
We numb with people's opinions. We numb with food.
I was fixing to say food. Yeah.
What else do we numb with? It's because I think so. What's important about this podcast is when people come in here, like, can they recognize something in themselves that they can grow out of or grow into something different, right? So it's like, oh, it's not me. But like, once you can recognize and you can be aware that you have a numbing mechanism, you can do something different. So what are some other ways that you've recognized in your life, even
with the numbing?
Yeah, or your parents or growing up. For me, mine was like a non-numbing for me was also like in school, I was voted class clown. So numbing was like, just be this really funny, like, everybody loves me, prom queen, like, oh, I'll just make jokes. Like, I almost make jokes out of every single, like, traumatic situation.
No,
like,
I know a lot of people that do the clown.
Yeah.
Put
on a happy face.
Yeah, and that's real. Yeah. I mean, that's a real thing. I don't know that I was ever, I mean, I do think I'm funny.
I think you're funny too.
But it was never that.
That wasn't your mechanism.
Mine was, I mean, I kind of went through that whole rebellious, like teenage. If I could do it all over, I'd go back and do that all different, because mine wasn't, it was just, I don't know. I just kind of checked out.
Yeah, you were kind of acting out and checking out.
I did act out.
You could get some attention. That was weird. I know this is crazy because most people are like, what? Because most people, their kids are in middle. My nieces are in middle school. And I can't even imagine this. But like, my rebellious stage was in middle school. It's when I first used like drugs. Yeah. And when I first like lost my virginity in eighth grade. Yeah. And so I'm not even sure that on the podcast. Yeah. But I think when you have trauma, those things start so much earlier.
Yeah, they do.
Because you don't know better. You haven't been talked to it about. And you're trying to escape the pain.
You are. But you're also seeking all these other
outlets.
Because you're lost. And as a kid, I mean, do you remember what that felt like in middle school?
Terrible.
Yeah. And so that's something that I'm with my kids. I'm constantly like, okay. What are you doing?
What's your emotion?
Talk about it.
And how can you talk about it? Because you didn't have probably someone to come in and be like, no. Hey, this made me weird. It feels weird at school today. It's like,
I didn't have
to suppress it.
Yes. And I did. And so, and today it's even harder because of social media, but like, I did. It was middle school is when it started for me. We joke. So I have a group of girlfriends that I grew up with, and we say that we raised each other because we all had, situations is what I'll say.
Situations.
And
that's good. That's a good one.
We basically were parents to one another.
Yes.
And we joke because by the time we were 21, we were retired.
Literally, that's what we're saying. I think that when you come from trauma addiction, like I'm like me and my husband all the time, like, do we need to retire soon? Yeah. Like, because life has been so heavy.
Yeah.
And you've been parenting. I love that you were talking about being parents to each other, because when that situation happened with my mom, the very first time I ever identified with this, because I didn't even know what it was being a child of an addict. Yeah. And when you're a child of an addict, you are a parent.
Yeah.
So you switch the roles, and that starts a lot earlier. And this responsibility and pressure and control and all of these things that keep us going, they were our mechanisms for so long. They only work for so long until they burn out. Right.
And that's such a weird place to be as a child, even trying to navigate friendships, because you know, this person over here has like mom and dad, and you know, they have a schedule. They're going to bed, they're eating dinner at the dinner table, and they're going to church and everything. And then you're over here and it's a completely different world for you.
Yes.
And that's hard to, it's almost embarrassing. It's like
shameful
is the word. So with my girlfriends, we all knew it. I'll never forget I won't say names, but like my best friend, I went to her birthday party. It was a slumber party, and we're at a hotel, and we're going down the elevator to go down to the pool.
Yeah.
And we were just joking around, messing around with her mom was standing there, and her mom falls asleep. And I looked at her and I'm like, your mom falls asleep too. Like, so does mine.
Literally, this is how me and my husband met. This is good.
Yeah.
And it was probably because she was on high on pills or something.
Uh-huh. And so immediately it was like
a connection.
Automatic.
You're like my soul, deep, like Firefly Lane. Deep. I don't know if you watched that.
We talked about that the other night too, though. Yes. But yes, yeah. It is, they're not my friends.
Yeah.
They're like my,
your sisters.
Yeah. We're connected deep.
Well, talking about all this stuff, like I haven't thought about this memory in so long. I don't think I've ever talked about it, but I remember my, like, I think it was like a bridal lunch or something that we were having. We were all going, for some reason, all my bridesmaids were going to eat breakfast at Syrup in Norman.
Yeah.
And that same thing happened to me. This was in probably 2017. Same thing happened to me. It's like, we're all sitting at dinner and my mom's just sitting there like falling asleep. And all my friends were raised in responsible families, were raised in families that had money, who had brick houses, who, because a brick house to me was like crazy because I lived in like this little double trailer with holes in it. Yeah. And so I was so embarrassed. And so I always wonder, like, sometimes why am I so connected to these best friends of mine? Because they accepted me at this level that when I went to college, I always felt like I was different.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, why? Like, nobody knows the true me. Like, I want to meet all these friends here, and these all girls are really nice to me, but I don't feel like I can truly connect with people because they don't know who I truly am.
Yeah, I totally feel all that.
Yeah. And so if anybody's listening to this and they resonate with that, I think we need to talk about, like, what behaviors, though, and what patterns do we take on when we spend our life in shame?
Oh, well, I mean, if I'm right, what we just talked about before was codependency.
Codependency. And this need that I have to take care of everybody. Yeah. I have to be everything to everybody. I have to fix everything. I have to control everything. Yeah. I have to plan it all.
Yeah, and there, you don't know that you're living like that.
Mm-hmm. Because you're on autopilot, because you're surviving.
Survival mode. Mm-hmm. Like, constantly. So you don't realize that these are all the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
To feel, I don't know if it's the void that...
Yes, the void. Yeah. So what would you say, I know we're going to talk about like the tool that you use, but would you say, like, sometimes I think there's a moment that changes somebody, or it's a series of moments. Mine was, for some reason, I don't know why, it was like a blessing and a curse, was when my mom, you know, did that to herself. It was like a warning sign to my own self that I didn't have an identity. And so there was this big moment that I'm always going to remember that was like one of the biggest catapults and changes of my life. But sometimes it's just these little moments. So do you, what would you say? Is like a series of small things, or just one big moment, like where you, because sometimes we can all step back into autopilot. It's not something that like we get off and like we're forever off. Like, I wish that was a thing, because different seasons of life change. But when did you recognize that you had been living most of your life in autopilot and that you could do something about it?
So recently, so just to kind of make this as short as I possibly can without getting into that whole part of my life.
Yes.
But I'm going through my second divorce. I just come out of something, like, I've been there and I have done it, but this thing was probably the hardest thing I've ever done, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a blended family. And just kind of going through all that, just being deep in it. We were married for 7 years, together for 8 years.
Yeah.
That pulled a lot of triggers from my childhood. And then, you know, I would go down these rabbit holes and trying to
fix yourself,
fix myself, constantly trying to fix myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, honestly, and I'm going right back to breathwork, but whenever I found breathwork, literally the second time I ever laid down to do it, I immediately was like, I've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do. I feel like I'm a healer. I feel like everything that I had went through and what I was going through right then, that was my answer. Like,
yeah,
it opened my eyes. I realized all of it. Self-love, for one, is something that you don't, coming from all of that.
You have.
No. Yeah. And I did. It was everybody else. I'm sitting here loving my husband through all of his issues, all over.
You're taking 100% accountability.
Yes,
all the time.
And
period.
Nothing from myself. Even these three kids that rejected me from the very beginning. I loved them, and I loved them, and I loved them. I have my own too, and it was just like I was all in there trying to fix it all, just trying to make this one big happy family. And then I'm just like, this isn't working. Like,
so how'd you hear about breath work?
Well, I first started looking at sound therapy, and then,
so you knew, you said you're going through a painful time.
Yeah.
And as we do, we start searching.
Yeah. Usually we'll see. Stress. Okay. So I, through all this, I've just recently got diagnosed with my third autoimmune disease.
Wow.
Literally I've lost a lot of weight. Like it was physically
sickening, like ill, made you ill.
It was, it was just, I think I've
and
just
you know
been
the body keeps score. I don't know if you've read that book.
Yes, yeah.
But it talks about like these traumas come back. So some of this was like triggered by the situation right now, but some of it was still living in your body that needs to
Well, during the all of that too, with going through like the blended family and stuff, my mom died a year after I married my husband. And then right after there, I called her my mom. She died about a year after. My grandma died. My sister-in-law, like, I mean, was like, my sister got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Like, it was bam, 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 bam on top of everything. And I'm still sitting here fighting it. And it was just like,
what do I do?
Like, it just too much. But whenever, and so I just started going through all these different things, trying to heal and just trying to fix myself and what my triggers were and why and all these things. And breath work, I was fascinated with it. And at first I just read about it and I would watch, and then I was like, okay, I want to do it. And I looked everywhere here. I couldn't find anybody that did it. And then so I did it online, and it's changed my life. Like, I want to do it every day, all the time.
All the time. So, okay, people are like, breath work, I think it's such a like overrated term.
It is.
It's so easy. It's literally breath work. But I think it sounds like it's simple, but of course the society has made it this like breath work. Like, you can't touch it. You don't know what it is, but it's literally just using your breath to regulate your
all your breath. That's all it is.
Reoxygenating yourself instead of using drugs, alcohol, food.
Yeah.
Saying, okay, if you have a food addiction, sitting there and saying, breathe through this. What am I feeling right now? Connecting to your body.
Yeah.
So when you had that second one, I think you had this, like, you were laying down, and this is the second time you'd ever done breath work, right? And this intuition came in that you probably had not trusted most of your life, I would assume.
Ever, yeah. Like, same. So that's where, yeah. So then that's when I, like, all of these, like, positive things just start coming at me. And I'm like, it's me, you know? Like, I've gotten myself through it. I don't know. It was something real strong, and
what would you explain
I'm
to somebody?
That's what I do.
You're shaking because, well, first of all, you're passionate about it. Second of all, it impacted you personally.
Yeah.
And she's crying, but if you guys are listening on the audio, you obviously won't see it, but it's because when you have this experience, especially, and I'm not, anybody who has trauma with a big T, little T, like literally at the Addiction Healing Ranch, I'm going to say this really quick, when we would sit my mom there, one of the child's trauma there, he was addicted to heroin.
Yeah.
And one of his trauma at the session, like my mom's, was like, I've been raped 7 times and all these things. But his was, I was at this party once and these kids left me out. And like, it's literally lived in his house, like his head forever, that like he was left out. And so he's been trying to figure out his whole life how to like fit in. And you think, like, sometimes people listen to this and like, okay, this stuff's heavy and I don't have an experience this. My life is normal, you know, whatever. But I think that we need to really explore that. Because it doesn't have to be these crazy things. It can be these small little triggers.
It's trauma,
yeah. And so as a society, we have a really hard time trusting our intuition. So even if you haven't been through all these things, we're literally taught to seek external validation, seek external sources, seek out instead of seek in.
Yeah.
And especially, so that's with just any normal person. That's all of us are experiencing that. But then also when you have these extra events that happen in your life that have made you codependent, that have caused these situations, it actually is like showing you do not trust yourself.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I don't know if I've ever talked about on the podcast is like, I remember when I was a really little girl and my mom would use drugs in the bathroom at convenience stores with me out of a glass pipe.
Yeah.
And I'd always say, Mommy, what is that? And she'd say, oh, it's marijuana and you can smoke it in the bathroom, no problem. And so I was like, oh, okay, normal. Well, then years later, I realized it was crack. But this is really deep. But realizing after all this healing work I've done is like, oh, when I would ask my mom if she did something, she would tell me some no, that I was wrong, my intuition was wrong. Or when I'd go out, I remember a time, a memory in Guthrie, she was out in our garage doing that. And I like walked in on her and I was like, mommy, and she gave me this really evil face because she would get really evil when she would use it.
Yeah.
Like she would just look really scary. And I walked out there, I'm like, mommy, are you gonna come inside? And she's like, no, honey, and like this super evil face. And I was like, well, are you doing that stuff again? Because I was little enough to understand it would change her.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, honey, get back in there. And so I was taught, those are just two situations out of 2 million. I was taught, like, if you have this feeling that something's not right, I had so many gut issues when I was a kid.
You know what?
I would sit there and throw up at the door.
Yeah.
I would go and stay the night with my dad.
It's because we hold all that emotion and that trauma
in our body. Yes. And so we're taught, don't trust yourself.
I've never thought of it like
that. And it manifests into stupid things like, should I dance this career opportunity or should I not? It's like, I don't know how to trust myself.
Carl, she knows I cannot make a decision.
And that's one of the biggest signs of, like, having that lack of intuition, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's crazy how these things show up.
Yeah.
I learned over the past couple of years is like, I'm not going to use this as an identity. I tend to be indecisive about things at times. And that's part of the six in me too. So it's a good thing because I look at all options and I like to weigh my options, but also it can be sometimes when I know I want to do something, I almost talk myself out of it.
Me too.
Which is going against your intuition.
Yeah.
So one thing I always like to share that blew my mind one time is the coach looked at me and she said, Brandy, for the next month, for the next 30 days, anytime you have a decision to make, whether it's what to eat, whether it's what podcast person to have on your podcast, whether it's what to do next, I want you to answer it right away. And I want you to go with the first 3 seconds. Of what you choose.
That's good.
And I want you to do it for 30 days. And she said, I want you to see that you do have an intuition, even though you don't think you do, and you think you're so out of touch. We all have that in us, but then we're so used to these patterns and these thoughts in our mind that we override it like really, really, really fast, right?
Yeah.
So you're sitting in that breath work and it says, get this divorce.
Oh yeah. And
use breath work to help other people.
Literally, I did breath work and I set my intention to stay or go.
Yeah.
And I love this man. Okay. But I knew it was not
the best, right?
It wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I immediately got up and I went and told him. But it is wild.
Yeah.
But now even just, unfortunately I can't do breath work every day. Now I'll do like how we did, but not like full blown.
Yeah. Full situation.
But anytime I need a decision, I go back because it's like,
it's your body. It's instead of getting out of your mind, because like most of us live in our heads.
Yeah, but it's all right here.
It's really not. It's the right decisions in our heart, right? Yeah. That's like our intuition. That's our instinct. Yeah. That's our soul. So, okay, this is so good. So we first just gave a tool for everybody on the show. Like, listen, if you struggle with indecision, if you struggle with making the right choice.
Needing clarity.
Yeah. Just ask yourself. And maybe in third person too, that really helps. So you get out of your own head. It's like, Brandy, do you want to do this or do you want to do this? And like that first pain.
Yeah.
And kind of like, especially when you have something, this is why I had you on the show, is because especially when you have something on your heart that you want to share with the world, but you're not quite ready to completely share it with the world. If you just ask yourself for a second, Sherry, are you a healer and are you meant to show up to share yourself with the world? What comes through?
This,
tears.
Yes.
It's like so a whole real. Body. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when we get worried about, what if I do this content? What if I have to share this story? What if this triggers this person?
Yeah.
What does this look like? And, do I even know how to do these things?
Yeah.
We just go back and say, Brandy, was this put on your heart for a reason?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's a hell yes. It's not like, maybe it was this. Maybe that's just the brain trying to, the brain's doing is it's living in that primal brain, that primal state. It's fight or flight. It's like, wait, we have to stay safe, like your childhood. No. It's like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to do.
I agree.
And so I love meeting women like you who are like, I have this tool.
Yeah.
It's changed my life. I want to do something with it. I'm in my way. I get in my way.
Yeah.
But I know that my purpose is bigger than my mindset and the blocks there, right?
Yes.
So how would women get in touch with you? Tell them what you're working on. Give us a little bit of that.
Okay. So I will say that I do have a Facebook page, Instagram. It's just Sherry Lynn Breathwork.
Perfect. Love that.
And then my actual personal Facebook is just Sherry Lynn. So I can always route you there. because sometimes people are having an issue pulling it up. But also I am working with Carly on a book, and it's going to be a book that is obviously about my whole journey. Mm-hmm. And I went back and forth with this because I'm like, why does somebody or why would anybody want a book about me? Mm-hmm. But it's so real because, like, it just middle schoolers today, like, if I could just be
a voice for them,
inspiration of mm-hmm. like what you're living in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have an example with my girlfriends, like, we all have come from it, and it's
and why real. Wouldn't they want to hear from you?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because so many times, I don't know if you see the sign in my office, but it says, what does the past Brandy need to hear, learn, understand, do? Why does she need your help so badly? What is her problem and how can you see it? And what transformation can you help her with? Because that's what I struggled with for so long too, is like,
I need that.
Why Brandy? Yeah. But like, why do they need to hear from me? And then I like close my eyes and I'm like, oh my God, if I would have had me.
Yes.
When I was
yes.
5, 6, 7, yes. 10, 25, 30.
Yes.
Like, if I would have had me,
yeah,
holy game changer. Yeah. I wouldn't be working through the things that I've had to work through. I would, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so I have had a lot of friends, like my friends will call me, or, you know, it would kind of be a joke because they'd be like, you know, if you have an issue, call Sherry.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just go to Sherry. Like, Sherry, you'll know. And I do, like, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I want to be that person. But breath work is just different. And then when I got in touch with Carly, I knew, so this was even, I got in touch with Carly before I even knew I was getting a divorce.
Oh, wow.
And
so wait, how'd you find Carly? So Carly's on the podcast. I know we usually don't do like a 3 podcast, but we're doing it here. So Carly, for this quick second, can you introduce who you are?
Hi, ladies. My name's Carly. For everybody who's just now, of course, meeting me, I'm a freelance writer and editor, and I used to be in journalism. I love telling people stories, and I basically switched last year to working for myself, and I get to work with people like Sherry and tell their stories or edit their books, you know, so it's just been a really, really fun journey with Sherry. Well,
I love that so much. Yes. So you found her.
I told her I'm keeping her.
You're keeping her for good.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were like, okay, I'm writing this book.
Yeah. I felt like I just, my intuition, mm-hmm. and I had said I wanted to write a book ever since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I knew that I couldn't write it. And yeah. So I reached out to Carly and we talked on the phone, and I was just like, and she was all for it. Like, she was very excited yeah. about doing it. And then once we actually, well, we didn't meet right away. And then I ended up going through what I went through. And then I reached back out to her and I'm like, okay, we're still doing it, but everything's kind of changed.
This is a new story.
Yeah. We've got more to add to it. And so we meet up and we talk, and it's, I don't know.
What does that look like, Carly? Like, what is a book writing process? Like, if somebody's here wanting to tell their story, like someone listened to the show and they're like, man, okay, I don't know if I could write the book. I don't know how to tell this. Like, how would you take them through that?
So what I do, it's very actually similar to journalism, which is why I love it. I mean, so for somebody who doesn't want to write their own, obviously they could start writing it and I could go through and help them. But what we're doing is basically I'm interviewing her for long periods of time. It's more like a conversation, almost like a podcast where you're asking tons of questions and you're getting to the nitty gritty. Yeah. And I will put all of that together and get to know Sherry, hopefully so well that it sounds like her and sounds like she has written it, which again, she has in a way because she's telling me all of this. But yeah. I just get to kind of finesse that into a book, which yeah. is really exciting. And she's just, her story is such a cool one. You guys were talking about, of Sherry saying, I didn't know who wanted to hear a book about me. And for me, what's so special about stories like these is that how often do we read biographies or autobiographies about famous people?
Right.
I mean, everyone is usually just like, oh, I can only write it if I really, everybody knows me, everybody, you know, this, everybody that. But really, who are the people who are probably going to relate to the most?
Yeah.
People who are real and people who are, we, you know, are in our everyday lives, who we meet, who something we've gone through. So those are the stories I especially just love telling. And I'm just excited for Sherry to share her story. And yeah, it's just such a story of hope and perseverance and strength. So I'm stoked.
The way you're smiling, you're like, I love just being in this space with you guys, because it's like everyone's doing what I think God has put them on this earth to do. Like, you can just tell by the way you're speaking, Carly, you're like, I just love this work. And then you're crying every 5 seconds. Yeah. So, and I have chills. And so that means it's like, it's a divine appointment.
Yeah.
So that's making you cry because honestly, let's talk about this part, but like, how healing is it for you to tell your story to Carly? So who cares if the book sells to one person? That's how I think of things like this. It's like, this work I do, like being a coach is the most beautiful job, because every day, like I just talked to this to Tracy, she's like years ahead of me, right? In the industry. And she's like, being a coach has been the most healing. She has a similar background as us. She's just been the most healing thing to me, because it's always a mirror and I always get to help other people while I'm helping myself.
Yes, I love it.
And so writing the book, is it not the most healing?
Yeah. So another thing with breath work is, in my past, like, I don't know, it was just like this, not ashamed of tears, but you have to be strong.
Yep.
And so whenever you cried, that showed weakness, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But breath work has showed me and taught me that, no, those tears got to come out.
Yes,
that's healing.
Yes, it literally, it's like washing away. Yes. Yeah.
And so I had told Carly, I was like, I hope I don't cry. And I think the very first time that we talked, I actually think the first question was, she had asked me about my mom. And I was just like, come out.
And I'm a sympathy crier. So there I am, tearing up, trying to like write and ask questions. So
we had some fun. Like, it's fun. I'm funny.
Yeah, you're funny.
So I don't know. It's been very good. And especially with what I'm now currently going through, I'm still kind of like trying to process all that.
Yeah.
So it's been wonderful. I love Carly. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just love her so much, and it's wonderful. All
I feel like this podcast is so good because we have so much value to bring. Okay. Yeah. So as we kind of get this, like, we're going to come to a close, and I'm going to ask where they can follow you guys. Cause there's a lot of people in my audience, Carly, that, you know, they want to write books, or they want help with editing, or they own businesses or entrepreneurs. And there's a lot of people that need the extra healing. They need the breath work. And in fact, I don't know if someone's reached out to you yet from the event, but she was wanting to coach together. And I said, listen, I want to coach you, but if you're still living in a place of fight or flight and you don't feel safe, I can give you a million things to go do and you won't do them. You'll put yourself back in the shame cycle. And then you'll wonder, why have I not made this X number of dollars in my business? Why have I not done this? Because you continue to be unsafe, which you can't take the action when you feel unsafe. And so I said, book 4 to 6 sessions, breathwork sessions with Sherry.
Yeah.
Come back to me. So I hope she reaches out to you so she can feel safe. I told her that on Friday night. So I need to find her contact
and send
it to
you.
Yeah, one of the girls. Yeah, because I told her, she's like, I want to work with a coach. And I said, no, you don't. Because I see this happen all the time. It's when you're not safe in your body.
Yeah.
You continue to repeat patterns that put you into shame. And then you can't take action.
Yeah.
And then it's like, why do I not take action? Not because there's anything wrong with you.
But you personally doing breath work, do you not feel like immediately. It's transformation?
It's crazy to me, because I am a very much control type A recovering codependent. And when I do breath work, it's my reminder that, like, it almost connects you back to, like, source, like God. It's like,
I feel the closest to God whenever I'm doing breath work. Like, literally.
It's like God saying, like, honey.
Yes.
Honey, right there. Slow down. Honey, you can just.
All of it.
I gave you this breath. I gave you this oxygen. Like, use it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so good. Okay. Yeah. So they can find you at. Sorry, we got distracted because I had to have Carly in here. And we're good. We're great. Sherry Lynn Breathwork. They can find you there. You're writing the book. Is there any, like updates on the book? Anything you should know?
I don't know. That would be Carly's question.
Carly.
Well, it's a whole long process. So just so everybody knows, especially if we want to do this the right way, it will take a while. But I mean, release date will be in 2024 at some point.
Yeah.
When we have the draft ready, then we'll have a more clear date and we'll be able to share that with everybody. But definitely 2024.
Perfect. Okay. So they can, you know where they can follow you. If they want to book a breathwork session, they book it there. That you'll post updates on when your book will be ready there as
Yeah.
well.
Or even just a chat.
Just a
Like
chat.
Friday with all the girls, remember me saying that? Like I'll take them all. Like all
I love it. Okay. So let's talk about that. Is there any advice if somebody's on this podcast? Maybe it's a woman that attended that event. Maybe it's Carly. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's somebody listening that we don't know. Is there any last words that you want to leave just to give advice, because usually people who are following me, they're about, following this journey to becoming wildly well. And that means both in their spirit and their soul, but also in their purpose and following that purpose. And so, what advice would you have for anybody here?
I definitely feel like listening to your intuition and following your heart is really the only way. Like, it's the only way. And if something's making you question that, that's when you need to question that, because
Oh, yeah.
it's real, and that's what you need to just
That's the sign.
all the way through. Yeah.
And then lean into the breath work
Oh, yeah. Oh,
to
yeah.
connect, to tap in.
Breath work, and I don't want to say it because I don't want it to be like I'm trying to sell it or sell myself, but
But she is
it
because she's on a podcast with a life and business
is.
coach, and I'm like, you are trying to sell it.
It is
She does,
unreal.
she is
Yes.
open to taking sessions.
Oh, yeah. I all the time, anytime. I just had one on Monday and I have another one on Thursday. Like, everybody needs it. And I would say, even if you're like, because it does, a lot of people think it looks woo-woo and like a little bit weird. Sometimes it can, but it's not. And at least try it just one time. And I think that I can't imagine not loving it after the
And it's
first
just,
time.
I mean, we got to take the stigma out of it. It's literally, there's nothing like
All you're doing is
woo-woo.
breathing.
It's like you're just using your breath to activate yourself. And what's kind of sad, I think about this all the time, is that we live in a world where like meditation and breath work, like people think it's disconnecting from God, or
Yes.
it's this, or it's the most frustrating thing to me, because it's like, so we have these tools now
For in our own
in our,
self.
yeah, we have our tools to regulate ourselves to connect with God.
Yeah.
And instead of using all these numbing mechanisms, we have tools and we need to normalize them and stop making them seem like they're strange or they're not of God or whatever,
Right.
and realize that like he gave us these things to use our bodies, our breath, our minds, our to regulate so that we
Yes.
can be of him and not into fear, because he did not build us to fear. He says, do
Yes.
not fear. And
Yes.
yet 99% of the population, we
Yes.
live in fear and scarcity.
Yep.
And so that's just something that just came
That
out.
no,
That's it's so triggering to me, because
it is.
it's like, oh, you think breath work's strange, but it's
Yeah.
okay for you to have beer every single night?
Yes. Or
No.
go and get your
Antidepressants
antidepressant.
or eat the whole bag of chips?
Yes.
Like, no.
I say, so the guy that I got certified under, he does say that people come to him and say one session was like 10 years of therapy. I
Oh,
do go to counseling. I've gone to counseling my whole life.
same.
But honestly, what I get from breath work,
It's
one
different.
session is unreal. It's like, it's worth it. I think
Choosing
it's,
your body
yep.
to release.
But also, if anything, you're regulating your nervous system.
Like, how could that be wrong? It's science.
Exactly. So, and it's your breath. And I do have my own little playlist. I've actually just recently started doing this thing where I ask whoever, I want, because music is
Yes,
powerful.
therapeutic.
And I want to use some of your special
Yes.
songs or whatever. And I'll make my own playlist for each session. I've
I
been
love
doing that for
that.
whatever reason. But
Yes.
I like it
Yeah.
because I know what it does to me when I
It's
play.
a whole different thing. It's
Yeah.
music therapy. It's
Oh, it's
people.
powerful.
Yeah.
It's
That's,
intense. It
yeah.
really is intense.
We're gonna have
So,
to do another session together, because I
yes.
have a friend in Edmond that I do it with all the time, but I'm like, you're next door. We'll do it more
I know
often.
all
Yeah.
the time.
Yes.
Yes.
All the time. Okay. So good. So you guys know where to follow her. Sherry Lynn Breathwork. She has sessions open if you guys are ready to tap into that intuition. And Carly, tell us where we can follow you at.
You can follow me on Instagram mostly. It's under Carly.Renkoski, which is a long name. So it's Karlee dot Renkoski. And that's mainly where I'm at right now, but we'll see where I go from here.
I
So.
love that. Well, thank you so much, you ladies, for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening, remember to reach out to Sherry or Carly for anything that you need. Carly is a ghostwriter. She does editing, copywriting, all that good stuff. Sherry is a breathwork facilitator. She's writing a book, and just they're both really great souls. They're doing work that lights them up and that they were called for. So let's support them in that. Thank you so
Yes,
much.
thank you.
Thank you, guys.